San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. We're coming at you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us live there. And we also are on iTunes if you search the title of the show. And I typically introduce the co-host of the show, Richard Muzio, CPA extraordinaire at this time, and family office guy, of course, serving high net worth families. But he is at a family obligation tonight at a graduation of a very close family friend. So it's just going to be myself and 12 other guests. So it's not going to be a marathon. It's going to be a sprint. So pay attention. But it's going to be a great show because we're at the magnificent 6th annual Barry Goodnight Dinner.
AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with the final segment of It's Your Money and Your Life, and we've got a great last segment on bees. It's all about the bee colony collapse and honeybees, etc. Honeybee colonies are diminishing as a result of pesticides, the neonicotinoids, if I'm saying that right, and we'll get to the full story of that in a few minutes. We have with us for this segment Hillary Kearney, who raises honeybees. Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
Can you tell us about you and your enterprise?
Yeah, so yeah. I do an urban beekeeping business. And
where are you located?
I'm actually all over San Diego, San Diego County. I'm even into some unincorporated areas. But what I do is place beehives in people's backyards as a service, and I take care of them for them. So my business is all about integrating bees back into the community, getting people used to living with bees again. And really, the larger picture is about bringing awareness to people's local environment. I feel like bees can be a really good connector between the peoples and their immediate setting, right? So you do something to your bees and you see the immediate effect on your environment. If your neighbor uses pesticides, for example, and your bees die, you see that effect right in your backyard. So this
says here that you're in the rescue bees business.
Yeah, I do live bee removal too. I do beekeeping classes, so I do pretty much everything.
So like when a call comes into the county that bees are swarming somewhere, do you kind of get involved in that and try to...
I'm not involved with the city or the county doing removals for them, but privately, you know, people call me. Homeowners get bees on their property and they call me to do live removal of those bees. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that that's an option, that you can do a live removal of a bee colony. They think you have to call an exterminator, but there's actually a lot of us doing live bee removal around San Diego,
really?
San Diego County. Yep.
How many operations are going, would you say?
I have no idea. There's over 20. There's a lot of people doing it.
Well, it makes great sense because obviously we're challenged. And what do you think is the biggest threat to bees right now?
I absolutely think it's the neonicotinoids. I think that's the overarching problem, that it weakens their immune system and scrambles their neurological systems, and it makes it difficult for them to do everything that they do well. So because it scrambles their neurological system, so much of what they do is navigation to and from food, to and from the hive. They're unable to do that as efficiently, it takes them longer, or they can't do it at all. And then because their immune system is compromised, anything that comes along, all these things that are mentioned, you know, as possible reasons for the global collapse, like mites or, you know, fungicides and all these different things, other pesticides, climate change, all those things, basically what it means is they're less able to cope with it.
And a lot of commercially sold plants these days are treated with that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So when you go into a big box nursery or even a small scale nursery, they're mostly buying their plants from the same kind of growers. So they're all sourcing from the same few growers, and those growers are all treating with...
Is there a way you can determine from when you go into these stores if they're using this or not? Or
at Lowe's and Home Depot, they're now labeling if it's treated with a neonic, but most places, no. So like Ace Hardware, no.
Well, we have a real expert also in the room tonight, and his name is Dave Schubert. He's a scientist over at Salk Institute. Why don't you give us a little bit about your MD, PhD?
I'm a neuroscientist. Uh-huh. I work at Salk Institute on the faculty for 50 or 45 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been around there for a while. And so,
so you must have known Dr. Yeah. Salk himself, huh?
Yeah, quite well. He was a neighbor of ours.
Oh, for gosh. Oh, my gosh.
So the my interest has historically been in the GM problems associated with GM food and health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the neonics are systemic insecticides, I've sort of been interested in for quite a while. And they also affect the nervous system. That's how they work. They're knockoff compounds of nicotine, which is a neurotoxin.
Yep.
And so recently there's been a lot of debate about the toxicity of this. You can get information from both sides. The producers have one view. Some of the more academic scientists have another. And the last few weeks, there have been a series of papers coming out in very high-end scientific journals, which more or less document the fact that these neonics are one of the major contributors to the colony collapse.
Was this a synthesized in the lab at some large company?
Yeah, there's two and people who groups have made this. Shell was one of the first in the 1970s and 80s, and then Bayer came in, and Bayer's the primary producer now, I believe.
Now I need an aspirin. But so the bee colony collapse issue. How bad is it, and is there any way we can turn it around? You have any opinions, either of you?
Interesting is that 40% loss rate for commercial beekeepers doesn't really apply to beekeepers like myself. So I'm an urban beekeeper, and I'm doing things a little differently from what they do. So there's so many stressors going into commercial beekeeping. Like, they load up their bees, they put them on a giant semi, and they literally drive them across the country back and forth to the crops that are blooming. They put them in these huge monocrop settings. Their nutrition is limited because they're only accessing one kind of flower. And then they're getting exposed to a whole host of pesticides and fungicides. So when I'm putting them in a backyard setting, I absolutely believe they're getting exposed to pesticides still. People have them on their plants. You know, they buy them that way. They are unaware. But I don't have as many stressors as they do. So I am not losing 40% of my colonies.
Hmm.
In fact, I think I lost zero this last year.
Huh. Dave, you have any opinions on the bee colony collapse issue?
I mean that we should follow the example of Europe in a number of respects. I mean, this is one of them. They have more of a precautionary principle with their both the GM products and also the insecticides, herbicides, and so on.
Wasn't it in Poland they brought a large amount of dead bees right to the city hall or something?
Right. Well, the neonics now are basically outlawed in most countries in Europe, and the United States is very slow on this. And they still are allowed. And the seed coating, you know, from a scientific point of view, and even the EPA agrees, the seed coating is not very effective. Like in GM soy, for example, it's used essentially 100%. And there's an EPA paper saying it really doesn't do anything, but the producers are still, pushing this stuff to a high extent.
So do we have any definitive studies that either of you know about the relating health impacts regarding GM food and the neonicotinoids or herbicides? Has there been anything?
On humans, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is my major concern because we do drug development for neurodegenerative disease and Alzheimer's primarily, and so we're very concerned about the nervous system, and that's what we study. And it's quite clear that this new agricultural paradigm, where the chemicals are now in your food, and this is certainly true with the neonics and with glyphosate and some of these other, like 2,4-D in the future, which is in the GM plants are now becoming resistant, they're making resistant to that. We're eating it, and we're exposed to that at quite a high level, and the levels are increasing the more GM products you have out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a major health issue, and there's quite serious science showing that these are can affect human health.
I mean, I've been seeing some articles or studies talking about the increase in autoimmune disease among children, asthma, and things like that.
Autism.
Right. Why is that increasing? I mean, it's either something in the environment or something they're ingesting or some genetic mutation.
So this is quite clear. It's not genetics. Okay. I mean, it can't be genetic. So,
okay, good.
So it's got to be something environment. And if you look sort of where there's been this increase in a lot of these diseases, and primarily in children and developmental diseases, it correlates with the introduction of the GM products and the neonics and a lot of the systemic insecticides. So the So I think it's very difficult to do epidemiology. It's very difficult because this stuff's so ubiquitous. But there's a lot of animal study. If you, like, we do drug development, and so we have, the FDA requires testing and serious toxicity testing. There, none of that's done with these products.
So. Yeah. Anyway, we're in our last minute right now, so we have to wrap it right up. But Hillary, you're doing outstanding work. You're just a young lady. I'm very impressed with the kind of work you do. How long have you been doing it?
5 years.
5 years, wow. Well, thanks for being our guest, Hillary Carney, and Dave Schubert, professor over at Salk Institute. We really enjoyed having you. I'd like to thank Dave Sniff, who came all the way from KFMB to do the technical work tonight on the show. And I don't know who's back on the board in the studio, but thank you, whoever there is there. And thanks to our account executive, Craig Blanke. Richard Musio, I hope you're having a great time at the graduation. We're going to get out to the Berry Dinner now and enjoy some great food. You have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Paul Hines will be our guest. All these shows are on iymoney.com, and we'll see you next week. Good night now.